Good evening. Good evening to the cattle drivers, driving them steer to the marketplace. Keep pushing them doggies. Good evening to the mountain people of Mississippi. Good evening to the swamp people of Connecticut. Good evening to the lake people of Lake Wobegon. It is April the 3rd, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It's right around 6:24 p.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. And we're talking to the frogs. We're meditating with the flowers. The deer are sparkly. I give them cute names. Come over here, meatball. Cute little meatball. Come over here, pastrami. Come over here, hot roast beef. Come over here, spaghetti. You're cute little spaghetti. I give the deer names. Hey, Hash. How you doing, Meatloaf? I'd do anything for love, but yeah, I'd do that. Indeed, it is Wednesday, April the 3rd. Can you believe it? It's been such an interesting year so far. And in recent days, I've experienced more censorship. There's no point in complaining about it for lots of reasons, not the least of which, you know, I'm not special. Maybe I'll rant about it a little here. I hope I don't. But a lot of people are being silenced right now. And here's the tricky part. You might interpret the silence as something hiding the truth. But the fact is, these bastards are clever grifters, and they're good sheep dippers, and they'll give you a beaten down soul, highly censored. They'll give you a torn down person, they'll build up again. It's kind of Soviet, it's kind of real, except for the person really isn't. So you say to yourself, well, Dan, I know about this person that was banned from YouTube and they only have 3 million subscribers. Yeah. Be careful of that wounded hero you misinterpret as a source of truth. Be careful of the Alex Joneses and the Tucker Carlsons and especially the Donald Trumps. The fact that it looks like Donald Trump is being treated so badly is really simply a compliment to the PSYOP chef. You know, it's a tip your hat to the director. Trump is playing his part. But if you think it's particularly real, I don't know what to tell you. I did post a critical poll, political poll, a poll, you know, P-O-L-L, you know. I did post a critical poll on social media the other day. And I asked a simple question with three options. You are commander of the Battlestar Galactica. What's the first thing you do after you take command? And the three options are take the ship to Vegas, or you can sell diet supplements online, or you can open a strip club. You can open a strip club. Now, of course, you meditate on these options and all the voters, and many people voted. It was very democratic. It was highly selective, deeply reviewed and off-sided, but here are the results. Take the Battlestar Galactica to Vegas got 13.3%. Sell supplements online got 20%. I gotta say, you could take the ship to Vegas and sell supplements, but that's just my opinion. But the number one hit for options, if you are commander of the Battlestar Galactica, you're Bill Adama, you just got the job, sure, the Xylons have destroyed, you know, the 12 colonies, blah, 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 but you don't have that option. You just got these three, fuck you and the trolley problem. Yes, the number one hit for Bill Adama is open a strip club. And when you think about it, if you've ever watched the reboot of Battlestar Galactica, and I have, probably too many times, I'll admit I've been watching it again recently because it just sort of feels right. I can't explain it. But think about the Xylons. I mean, think about the Xylons in the reboot. I mean, they're basically mostly supermodels, with rare exceptions. They're mostly supermodels. They're mostly really attractive, wearing nice clothes. And you wonder to yourself, you know, are these robot murder androids, or are they all going to a debut of their favorite postmodern artist someplace in Soho? Because that's the feels I get from it. They're just too fucking attractive, you know. So if you're Bill Adama and you want to, like, bring peace to the galaxy, you go to, like, I don't know, the number sixes, the fucking blondes, Trisha Helfer. You go up to her and say, listen, baby, I mean, how many of you are you? Oh, there's billions of me. Well, okay, baby. Baby cakes. I'm starting a strip club on the Galactica. And with your help, we could become a number one hit in the galaxy. And so peace comes to the galaxy. Anywho, that was a critical political poll that we needed to decide. Next topic. So I've been thinking about writing a movie script off and on for the last 10 years. I've written a lot of stuff. I just haven't written a movie script yet. But I have an idea for a script. And some of you will claim it's derivative. And your claims will be substantiated. But the title of the film that will debut at Cannes or some type of fucking Robert Redford bullshit fucking film festival, who gives a fuck? Fucking Sundance. Maybe it'll debut at TED, I don't know. It's that foundational, this movie. It puts into question biology and sense of self. It is a rethinking of the Frankenstein mythos. It could be the number one Oscar hit of 2025 Bo Blimpdoc. The title of the film is Meth Badger. Yeah. Okay, so just shut the fuck up and listen to this idea. It's a pitch. Shut up. So you know the movie Cocaine Bear? And yeah, we all know about Sharknado. I don't know how many Sharknados there have been by now. Is it a day that ends in Y? There must be a new Sharknado. And frankly, I'm waiting for the film Time Shark that probably comes out for Christmas in 2025. It'll compete with Meth Badger. Time Shark. It'll get the number two slot. But here's my pitch for Meth Badger, the motion picture. So the opening credits play Country Road by John Denver as a camera kind of scrolls over the panorama of the Kentucky hills. And then at a certain point in the song, as, you know, the credits roll by, the camera keys in on one particular hill in one particular spot in Kentucky, where there's this old dude and he has some nasty-ass kennel in the backwoods. We creep up on the place with the camera as Country Road transitions to some, you know, decent keyboard guitar work with a banjo thrown in, fuck you. And here is where we meet our initial character, our man of folly, old Shimbley. He's a crazy old coot that lives in the deep woods of Kentucky, don't ask about it. And this crazy old coot whose grandfather ran moonshine and whose mother served the sailors. This crazy old coot, he's been up in the deep woods of Kentucky breeding honey badgers for the domestic Panda Express market. We remember Panda Express when we were kids. You would get real panda, real fast, real tasty, General So's sweet and sour panda. But at the time, they were running out of pandas. And so the CEO of Panda Express went to old Shimbley and said, "Can you breed me some honey badgers? Because I hear they're as tasty as panda. And I heard they don't care." Shim, as his friends called him, he begins his experiments with steroids and growth hormones and mRNA. I mean, he never went to college, but he doesn't give a fuck. He'll experiment with some bullshit he bought online. He'll go to an eBay site and find a CRISPR. And he started messing with them there honey badgers. He purchased all kinds of stuff from Ecuador. Shim ends up getting raided by the feds eventually, but one of his prize badgers escapes. Shim is riddled with bullets as his favorite badger, Ol' Annie, licks his wounds. And Shim says, "Get out of here, girl. It's all poignant and shit. Get out of here, girl. Get out of here." As the blood curdles out of old Shim's mouth, Old Annie looks to the distance. So the gigantic female honey badger by the name of Old Annie runs for the woods. And we transition to a short montage with "Man Comes Around" playing, of course, by Johnny Cash, showing a brief history of Old Annie from birth until that point. All the experiments, all the tests, all the madness. Old Shim was crazy. He was one crazy fucking B.F. Skinner motherfucker at times, I'll be honest with you. But he loved Old Annie. You see, these here normal honey badgers that are not common to North America, the ones you find in Asia or Africa or the Indian subcontinent, normal honey badgers get to be about 30 pounds, but Old Annie, Old Annie grew to be about 300 pounds, 10 times the size of an average honey badger, but it's worse. Old Annie was in heat. And she needed to breed. She needed some man pipe. She was looking for something around in that darkness. Old Annie's eyes glowed yellow-green in the darkness. Every time she killed something, she screamed out a horrible sound. When Shim was raising Old Annie, he'd feed it roadkill and old dead hookers he found in the Ohio River. Bad food equals a bad badger. So Old Annie roamed the countryside after that fed up. And eventually she stumbles across two bumbling Falstaffian fools who also happened to be meth distributors. They had about 50 pounds of primo-grade methamphetamine, and the badger ate the meth, and then she hunted and ate the poor doomed Shakespearean fools. That chews up about 10 minutes. Of course, there's a sexy scientist from the University of Kentucky. She grew up in Germany. Her dad was in the Air Force. She has a twang. She has a German twang. It's very rare. And then there's that brave fucking sheriff. He warned the people about breeding them killer badgers. But nobody listened, Cassandra. Nobody listens to you. Don't breed them there badgers. Nobody listened to the sheriff. Anywho, Gertrude, the scientist from the University of Kentucky, gets all upset when she discovers that the insane badger might have bred with some mountain lions, and it seemed as if she might give birth to super lion honey badger. There's a lot of hand-wringing and stress over this. At one point, the sheriff and Gertrude are on a scouting trip, and they witness the battle between the male mountain lion and Annie. It was a battle. It was kind of weird. Gertrude said, "I know I said I'd seen everything." And the sheriff said, "I know, but you ain't never been to Alabama. You ain't never been to Alabama, Gertrude. You ain't seen everything." Yes, they witnessed the lovemaking between the male mountain lion and old Annie, and it seemed as if the worst things were going to happen. Lots of bluegrass music will be showcased in this feature film. I don't give a fuck. There's a big finale where a local hillbilly has a Vulcan cannon. That's a multi-barreled electric cannon firing something like, I don't give a fuck, maybe 7.62 fuck you. And this fucking hillbilly shreds fucking Annie to pieces and all of her unborn babies. But just before Annie falls upon the hillbilly with all of her guts and babies falling on him, she opens her mouth and then bites off the hillbilly's head, poignant. And at this point in the film, it's all somber music. It's all glad-handing. Oh boy, we won! We killed the badger! We're so happy! The badger is dead! We feel special! Fucking badger's dead. And yes, it looks like, you know, Gertrude and the sheriff are gonna go have sex. But you don't get to see that in the credits. You know what, though? If I make this movie, I'm gonna break the rules. You're gonna see the brave sheriff and the sexy scientist in the final credits doing some real Cinemax softcore. If you're Sony, give me a call. I think we can make this movie for less than 20 mil. Maybe we make 300 mil. And yeah, they show up in a fancy car with a mini bar and they say, "Would you like to make love to a star, Dan?" And they drive me to Hollywood because now I'm big Hollywood. I'm making a movie called Meth Badger. And all the starlets who'd end up in the valley doing porn knock on my door and say, "Hey, are you the director, man?" And then I go to a party, and some dude named Gerald comes up to me and says, "Would you like some?" "What's that, man?" "Oh, it's the latest thing." "What's that, man?" "It's baby's blood." Oh boy, folks, these are the days that test you. But will I make a film called Meth Badger? Probably not. I think it could be made by the Sci-Fi Channel in about 2 weeks. I bet Katie Sackhoff would take the job as the sexy Kentucky sort of German scientist. Yeah. But there's the other question, and this is where I get kind of serious. We are living in a time where if you're a person of faith, and I don't want to talk about a particular church right now, You can talk about Catholics and Mormons and Baptists and Episcopalians, and there are so many institutions that represent Christ. But I often wonder, with all these institutions, who's actually doing the representing? That's just a question you should ask sometimes. And these are the times where you say to yourself, well, you know, what has the Lord done for me lately? I mean, shit, every fucking day in the news, it's Meth Badger. Think about it, okay? You want a bingo card for 2024? Just think Meth Badger. He don't care. He's not a honey bear. He's Meth Badger. Yeah. Every day in the news, you turn on the news, and it seems like it's Meth Badger. Meth Badger broke into a store. Meth Badger stole a catalytic converter. Meth Badger is dropping bombs on people. Meth Badger found out about paragliders and he attacked somebody. Meth Badger is dropping bombs on people in the Ukraine. Meth Badger is sending some type of fucking drone to blow up a refinery in Russia. Meth Badger caused an earthquake. You know, it's all fucking Meth Badger. And if you're a person of faith, you might say to yourself, Lord in heaven, what have you done for me lately? And if you think that that's an evil question, you have not read your Bible. In fact, I would say the Lord is accepting of the fact that from time to time we do shake our fist at him. The thing I think the Lord wants us to avoid, and it's not fucking cuneiform, it's not Latin, it's not Sanskrit, there isn't a puff of smoke, it isn't some fucking movie. What the Lord wants us to avoid is actually selling our souls. He'd prefer that, I think. So yeah, Meth Badger, could it be a film? I don't know. But will I drink baby's blood in order to get out of a camper in the woods? Probably not. And perhaps that's the truth of things at this point. You know, there's that Yeats poem, The Second Coming, and there are those lines, The best lack all conviction, while the worst are filled with passionate intensity. And I try to be a good person who can be filled with passionate intensity, but most days I struggle to come up with a reason why I want to get out of this camp or why I want to go back to it. I know that feeling sorry for myself is a dead end, because there are so many people that have it worse off than I do. I don't have anybody that depends upon me. I don't have any kids. I have a few friends, but the reality is, it is what it is these days. Just about everybody I know is treading water. They're getting by. And I think it would be fancy to believe that's a recent thing, but more or less since 2009, for real people I've met in the real world, this has been the truth. It may be worse now, because frankly, it's always a slow burn till it's not. But I started noticing this shit at least 10 years ago, that there was two economic recoveries. There was an economic recovery for blowing people up and spying on people and, you know, turning healthcare into pharmacare. There was an economic recovery for the grifters and the con artists. They did quite well under Obama. And frankly, they did well under Trump also. And they're still kind of doing okay. And then there was the rest of America. And the rest of America was more or less on life support since 2009. And we can play pretend, well, Dan, I read a newspaper article. You read whatever. In 2010, the current president, then vice president, went around the country. It was recovery summer. It was the summer I noticed not just the expansion of prostitutes on Aurora in Seattle, but I started noticing something creepy, or at least it seemed that way, that there were these moms and daughters doing it together, walking Aurora, because that's how much recovery summer in 2010 was recovery summer. And for those sensitive to the banking industry who've actually tried to read some economics outside of USA Today, you may have noticed that in the summer of 2019, before the monkey herpes, before the summer of communism, before all that nonsense. In 2019, the banking system was starting to implode. Not just here, but everywhere. If you had eyes to notice, if you actually, you know, went outside your safety zone. So one of the myths I enjoy dispelling is the myth of the so-called recovery. It didn't happen. It happened to people who were part of the crony system. And believe me, if you factor in debt, all the debt against the so-called recovery since 2009, what you really have is a papered over, you know, a papered over global depression. That's the truth. That's what you have. You don't have a recovery. You don't have magic. You have a lot of special effects. You have a lot of musicals and a lot of movies and a lot of propaganda. But what you don't actually have is an economic recovery. And so the question a person should ask themselves at this point in time is, what does a quote-unquote recession look like in the midst of a global depression? And all I can tell you is, we're about to find out. It probably looks like collapse. And even then, you know, shaking your fist at God is not going to help, and selling your soul is not going to help. Probably looking out for people in your life and building community is going to help. That'll help. Preparing yourself mentally for things just not being there, that can help. But at this point, really, it's a lot like the good sheriff telling people, stop fucking around with honey badgers. Nice try. Because Prometheus is doomed to have his insides eaten. Because he took the truth of the honey badger down to people. And now that light burns hard in Kentucky. And that, if you have an ominous old actor, like, I don't know. I don't know. Morgan Freeman. Yeah. The point is, that's the whatever. Here's the next topic. Fuck you. So I saw a headline today where Trump has declared November the 5th Christian Visibility Day. And this is in reference to the whole, the president calling Easter Trans Visibility Day. And I'm not going to give a lecture on the collapse of the Western Roman Empire. I'm not going to give a lecture on the Emperor Constantine. I don't see the fucking point. I'm not going to try to explain to you that a lot of these holidays that you call holidays should be investigated for what they really are. And that doesn't make me a whatever. Jehovah's Witness. Isn't that the Jehovah's Witness thing where you basically deny holidays? I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I am a witness to God, but I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. What I will tell you, if you look into Christmas, aka Saturnalia, or Easter, or any of these other holidays, what you'll find is a lot of paganism. And not a lot of it has anything to do with Christ. And much of it has to do with maintaining order in a collapsing Western Roman Empire that, in my opinion, simply morphed into what we call the Vatican today. And if you think I'm a meanie for saying it, I don't care. If Christ said establish some super church that's kind of like a country and sort of tells people when it's okay to wage war or don't wage war, if Christ had said that was what we needed, I'm pretty certain Christ would have said it. You know? That I think when he spoke of the church, he wasn't really speaking of buildings. No offense. Anyways. So Trump is talking about November the 5th being Christian Visibility Day. Whatever your opinion might be vis-a-vis the issue of Christ, if you're an atheist, fine. Understand that this is a load of bullshit. It's like Trump selling Bibles. If you're getting suckered by this, it says more about your state of mind than it says about Trump. If you think Trump takes any of this seriously, if you think he's some hero, if you think he's like Moses, as I heard one particular Hollywood actor refer to him as, Moses, you're deeply confused. I may be a terrible Christian, and my knowledge of the Bible might not be what it should be, but there is no reasonable comparison between Moses and Donald Trump. There isn't. There might be some crooked king, you know, in the Old Testament. You might find some crooked king, maybe, you know, Saul, right? But I don't know if he was crooked enough. You might find a crooked king and say, oh, Trump was like this guy. But you won't find one. Trump is a crooked person. Trump is provably a crooked person. You don't need him to go to court to know that. The purpose of the court is to sheep dip. The purpose of the lawsuit is to sheep dip. It means that if he tells you something, well, gee, it's Trump. He must be telling you the truth. It also means that if this nonsense lasts much longer, they're going to need a Simon who knows how to play Simon Says. And Trump knows that. He did it in 2020. I don't think there's anything real about this election. If you need to vote for psychological reasons, I understand. By the way, if some motherfucker tells me they're going to vote and starts giving me a speech about the sober life, I'm going to fucking vomit in your fucking face. Okay? No more of that bullshit. We should all be living the sober life. A lot of you motherfuckers get drunk and high off of this Trump bullshit. Off of the YouTube QAnon conspiracies. You're drunker than you've ever been. Christian Visibility Day. I will wager that Christ would like Christian Visibility Day to be, I don't know how to phrase this, every day. That there isn't just one day when you should live the kingdom life. That would be number one. Number two, I don't think the Lord in heaven cares which crooked person we pretend to choose to rule over us. I'm pretty certain in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the Lord laid out exactly what happens when people do this. And if you need to believe Trump is your hero, okay. Next topic. So I don't want to spend time on this one because it's kind of dumb, but I posted some images in kind of a mini collage related to the fact that I was, how can I phrase this? I was censored on Twitter again. I used the phrase, cut yourself some slack. Okay, cut yourself some slack. I believe that's an idiom. I believe that there is a use of some metaphor there, but the AI that works for Twitter saw cut yourself and thought I was telling people, this particular person, to harm themselves, and I wasn't. Do I think this is typical? Not really. I think a lot of nonsense gets past the AI, so I'm in a special little cell, a special little cage, and I don't give a fuck. It doesn't fucking matter at this point. I treat it like a video game to what? To get through those days, probably not months, maybe weeks, but to get through those days between now and when the shitstorm arrives. And I think the shitstorm is arriving pretty fucking soon. I don't know exactly how big it is. I'm pretty certain it's going to be bigger than most people can understand. And that's if we're lucky. If it's just economic collapse, we'll be so fucking lucky. What concerns me at times is that there's some uglier truths that have not been revealed and probably won't be known until it's too fucking late. And guess what? That's the human drama. That's the fucking meth badger. You think that the government doesn't breed meth badgers? You know they do. They're hunting you, old gumbo freak. Old Cleavis McGee, the meth badger, is coming for you. It wants your poo. But it also wants love. Poor, poor meth badger. I don't know. I am not special, okay? Let's just get that out of the way. I try to remind people of this because sometimes I think there's a lot of people out there that podcast and they really like the smell of their own farts. And I can tell you my fart smell is bad or worse than most people. I think a lot of people are being censored. And as I said earlier, you have to be careful because even if someone's voice is being silenced, it doesn't mean they're right. The way that the system works, especially with sheep dipping, and for those of you who are noobs to the world of psychological warfare, espionage, you know, the trade crafts and all the other things that involve grifting and mind fuckery. Let's just call it grifting. For those of you who are new to grifting, you sometimes want to take a person and increase, I don't know how to put this, their authenticity, their trust value. And one very useful way of doing this is putting them through a trial. And I don't mean a legal trial, although sometimes it can take that form. I mean a trial like, you know, you're a knight in the Middle Ages and you're given a mission to succeed or fail. Except for in this case, the entire trial, the entire adventure is contrived. And so it might be that you're some particular talk radio voice that's losing some of your mojo control. So what do? They have a lawsuit against you for $1 billion, and in the process, you get re-sheep dipped and your credibility goes up. Welcome to military psychological warfare. So you can read the Trump news and say, oh God, they're coming after Trump with their lawsuits, and it's all those crooked Obama lawyers, and you can play pretend all fucking live day long. I'm not special. Trump is not trustworthy. Okay? This is not Germany 1933. This is April 1945 Berlin. Wake the fuck up. Okay? The game is almost over. They're using Quaker guns because they have to. That's the point of the game they're in. Most of their juice at this point really just amounts to manipulation. And if you ignore it, all of a sudden their power goes away. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you because I'm not sure how anybody in any real sense can be believed at this point, to include me. I'm fairly certain something ugly is not too far ahead. And if I'm wrong about this in the year 2025, as I've said, I'll either eat crow or eat crow. I'll either eat actual crow, because that's all there will be to eat, or I'll make a cake shaped in a crow and I'll whatever start selling diet supplements. I don't really think that's likely. Any more likely than I'm going to make a movie called Meth Badger. Do I think Meth Badger could be the coolest film of 2025, Bo Blimp Doc? Absolutely. Do I think Meth Badger could have some really cool adventure scenes? Could it be really gory and appeal to the entire PG-13 crowd? Absolutely. And since it involves a furry creature, you get the furry demographic. Yeah. I don't know. That's as much as I want to say about that. I have a quote from Dr. Freckles, and it's going to sound mean, but I also don't care. At this point in time, the only thing dumber than debating a Keynesian or a communist is wasting time on a crypto freak, Dr. Freckles. Well, Dan, you need to beat up on crypto. Folks, I have existed on the borderline of that crypto world for at least a decade. I've never really dove into it. I've always been skeptical. I started developing my skepticism after attending a crypto meetup in Seattle in 2013, and some of the nonsense they were saying. I mean, from a computer science perspective, it made no fucking sense. This idea that there's intrinsic value in mathematical complexity is mentally ill. And in a lot of ways, that's what this entire sham is based on, but it's worse. They took these things called coins and they made them the first class citizens. So you're out there mining your coins, great, great, great. But in reality, a coffee shop wants to do business. It doesn't give a fuck about your coins. I don't care if it's gold or, you know, little pieces of fucking abalone shell. I don't give a fuck what it is you're trading, salt, whatever. If they're running a coffee shop, they want to do business. If they have to wait hours for a transaction to clear, I don't know how to put it, they don't want that. And if you come back with, well, they can use light speed x-ray, then all of a sudden your whole no third party required looks like bullshit. Let me outline the bullshit I've been told about crypto in the last decade. You can't steal Bitcoin. Wrong. Bitcoin can't be exposed to financial manipulation. Wrong. Very soon, we won't price Bitcoin in dollars, triple fucking quadruple wrong. Okay? Above all else, it is technology, folks. It's technology. It shouldn't be a cult. It shouldn't be some sort of weird political movement. It is technology. But bottom line is, the crypto people make the coin more important than the transaction. And the transaction is what these fucking business owners care about. Yeah, they need to have something they can use so they can buy shit. This is true. But they need to be able to conduct business. And the problem is, in all of its forms, crypto fails. In fact, I would contend that the networks themselves will become overbearingly complex the more users they get, no matter how many computers they add. It is a built-in flaw. It is built-in, yeah, it's a built-in kind of polynomial, if not factorial, flaw. That is my opinion. It really can't work. It won't work. If you're wasting time on it right now to make a little extra money, so you're basically grifting with it, I get it. Everybody on the Death Star has a grift. Everybody. I don't care how fucking off the grid you are getting by, you're using dirty money when you have to. So is crypto. If you want to be all like crypto, bro, understand this. When I see people quote really successful days, Dan, look what Bitcoin did. They're not quoting in gallons of milk or eggs or oil. They're quoting in US dollars. So I have a hard time taking that seriously after all the bullshit of the last decade. I don't know. Another thing, too, I like to remind people of, it's technically not decentralized. It's polycentric. That's what a multi-duplicated ledger system is. It's polycentric, which means that it's like you say, well, Dan, one Hitler sucks, but what if we had 100 Hitlers? Yeah. And they're all going to cut a slice off your coin as it goes through their network. A little bit of Poland, a little bit of Russia. Oh boy, your little Satoshis are almost gone because every little Hitler is going to take a cut. So when people say things, well, it's decentralized, Dan, fine. It's really not, okay? And in any functional sense, it seems to always require a third party. And I've not come across any crypto bro site yet that is not fully implementing know your customer 9/11 bullshit. So all the crap about, well, it's this and it's this. They say, well, it's private, Dan, because you only put your public key on the ledger. All you're telling me is that you provided me with a unique key that once I can link it to an IP address, a cell phone number, a driver's license, I can keep going, credit card, shopper's card, fuck you. All you're telling me is that there's a unique key that will link that ledger transaction to a person, and as a data miner, all I have to do is connect that unique key to something. And I don't know how to put it. It's not that hard. Especially you digital crypto bros. Your entire life is out there. You'll read an article about, oh my God, AT&T lost all this information. It's all gone. Don't get me started on the IRS. If you think the IRS protects your data, you are deeply fucking confused, especially about where we're at in the game. It's not Germany 1933, folks. Many a ghost of a fallen Native American chief will tell you that. It's not Germany 1933. It's Berlin, April 45. The game is almost over. Who the fuck knows what comes next, other than God? If you enjoy this podcast, even if you're a crypto bro, you probably don't because you're pissed off at me. It's technology, brothers and sisters. If you end up winning the game, you can say, Dan, you were wrong. And I'll say, guess what? I didn't care about being wrong or right. I use technology. I don't turn it into a fucking religion. But if you listen to this podcast and you're a crypto bro or you're currently training honey badgers in Kentucky, huh, I'm sure you are, Mr. Schlimbley. If you like the podcast, you can donate. There is a link to PayPal that still works. I don't know how much longer it will work. I also don't know if it matters. You know, we're kind of all in the same bullshit kaleidoscope digital ghetto at this point. But from one person in the digital ghetto to you, there is a PayPal link. But before you click on it and donate any of your fucking crypto, bitco, crypto, dollars, fiat, francs, I don't care, euros, before you donate, listen to the fucking disclaimer. Take care of your food, water, shelter first before you donate to random hobos on the internet. If you're setting aside food for your family, like 6 months worth, and you have a dog or a cat, a bat or a rat, make sure you have food for them. That dog will look out for you, even if it's a Frenchie. It's not the end of the world. Yeah, times are crazy, and I just don't know how else to put it without being a fucking liar. And add to list why this podcast sucks, because if I were just better at lying, really. Times are crazy, and I think they will become, in a non-linear way, crazier pretty soon. And that's the nicest way to put it. But even then, not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. If you're a Christian and you're meditating on the signs, it's still not the end of the world. If you're an atheist and you're thinking about all the crazy shit going on, it's crazy. But history's been crazy before. Like I said, A Distant Mirror by Barbara Tuchman. Good read. Add to it, you know, Jean Gimpel's The Medieval Machine. That's if you're an optimist. Right now, you can still go see a movie. I heard that Dune 2 movie's good. They're not paying me. I don't know that it's good. I'm thinking of going and seeing it because it's currently spring break, and I have a really stupid fucking job, and I don't make very much money, and I shouldn't complain because things for me could be a hell of a lot worse. But I do currently have the week off, and supposedly some of the scrumblies are angry, so they might do a strike-o thing-o. I can't say more about it, pro or con, but if there's a strike, I could get a couple extra days. So I'm behind the strike. Rise up, labor. Anyways, I might go see a movie. I'm trying not to wallow in my bullshit, believe it or not. But these days, that's hard too. You know, since 2020, I don't take medical or psychological advice from anyone ever again for the rest of my fucking life. There's probably one guru I know of. His name is Jesus Christ. Other than that, I'm not listening. You might have the best bee pollen chai tea elixir. Okay, you might have a kombucha that will clean up my babucha. You might have the best strategy for meditation and mindfulness and kung fu grips and bee pollen bull testicle sauce. I don't give a fuck. If I never knew that I own my own life after 2020, it's pretty clear to me. It could be dreadful. It could be rough. I could be becoming mold man right now. But what I do is I own my life. And I'm not going to sell it out to any cheap grifter. And after 2020, I learned a few simple facts I probably knew, but I didn't want to admit. Most of the people in this crooked country have become grifters. I'm not going to grift you. I could be wrong. But what I am not wrong about is it's not the end of the world. So right now, you can still go see a movie. You can still go to a restaurant. If you have the money, you can still buy stuff at the store and make yourself a steak dinner, maybe. There are still things you can do that reify life, that reify existence. You can still shake your fist, not at God, but at the world, and tell the world you are and you own your life. And while you can still do those things before you donate to some random fucking hobo. But if you want to donate, if you're like a billionaire, if you're like Elon Musk, and for some fucked up reason you randomly find this when you're perusing the deletion and censorship files, if you have $1 billion and you don't know what the hell to do with it, you can donate as much of that cash to me as you want to. I can promise you one thing. I'll do a few things with it that aren't so great, and I'll probably do a lot with it that would be pretty cool. And beyond that, you know, food, water, shelter, community, I don't know what to tell you. There's no billionaires listening to this podcast. Probably no millionaires. Probably a lot of people treading water, just like me. It is Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. And if you're out there, I hope you're having a good evening. If you're out there, I hope you're taking care of yourself the best way you know how. Sober, not sober, watching Fox News or CNN or simply tuning out of that shit. However you're trying to find a moment of peace, none of it's perfect. And only a liar would sell you that any of it is. If you're out there, take care of yourself. Do the best you can. Look out for your friends and family where you can, when you can. Prepare yourself above all else, in my opinion. Prepare your mind for the possibility that there are things you hold on to tightly today that will simply not be here tomorrow. Maybe not forever, but maybe long enough that it'll seem like forever. And last but not least, so I can iron this point out, it's not the end of the world.